Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fighting on Film podcast, the podcast all about classic and obscure war movies, from the Normandy landings to the days of chivalry and swords. If it's been captured on film, we're going to try and cover it. I'm Robbie of RM Military History.
I'm Matthew Moss of Historical Firearms and the Armourer's Bench.
Hello, Robbie here. Did you know you can support the podcast on Patreon? Join the supporting cast today and gain access to exclusive perks, such as discount codes, our monthly Patreon film votes, and the chance to get exclusive merchandise before anyone else. Search Fighting on Film on Patreon or find the link on our website. Thank you. Now back to the show. Hello, welcome back to Fighting on Film. I'm a bit ill, you might hear it in my voice, but we're going to continue on because we went to see Zizou last week, didn't we, Matt?
We did, and what an experience it was.
Yeah, so it was a bit of a weird one. So off HQ, we were looking for a way to see Zizou because we were so excited from watching the trailer a few months back. And I managed to get us on the list for a press screening in London. And the email
we were just hoping for a little press screener so we could watch it and review it. Little did we know we'd be heading down to London down to London
very quick. Yeah. Like the day after we recorded with Alan James for the Dam Busters episode that came out last week. It was a hectic week. We were running around, weren't we?
We were.
But it was lovely. And, you know, it was very lovely to be invited down. Thank you very much for the people at Sony Pictures for the tickets. This is going to be a little brief review of the movie. It's not going to be as in-depth as our normal episodes because at time of recording, the film's not even out yet.
Although it's been out in Europe for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has in America. America came out too. First.
So we're kind of like the last market to get it.
We're very late on the uptake, aren't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
So as I said there, it's released by Sony Pictures UK over here, and it comes out on the 26th. So by the time you're listening to this, hopefully it's at a cinema near you and you can go and watch it. And there will be spoilers in this review, but we're going to have a definite break. We'll warn everyone when the spoilers are going to begin. So you could probably listen to the first half of this and not have much ruined, I'd say.
I would say so, because we just want to talk about the tone, the vibe, our general thoughts about the film before we talk about some specific stuff.
Depends what you regard as a spoiler, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, it does. If you're worrying about spoiling of plot, if you've watched the trailer, you basically already know the plot.
Yeah, the plot is very simple.
Former Finnish commando who is out gold prospecting, finds the motherlode, and some pesky Nazis get in the way.
Yeah.
Between him and getting to the bank.
I mean, they don't really get in the way. He just passes them, doesn't he? He's unfortunate with who he bumps into. You know?
He is.
Very.
I mean, when we were watching it, I did think, could you not just go cross-country here? You can see that tank. You could detour, surely.
He was just playing it off, wasn't he? Just playing it cool.
So just before we jump into it all, I'll mention that it was directed by Jean-Marie Helander, who has directed with Rare Exports in 2010 and Big Game in 2014, which I think had Sam Jackson in.
That's it, yeah.
A wilderness film. And I did read an interview where he talked about some of his influences, and I found it really fascinating because when we watched it, we immediately both thought spaghetti western, didn't we? We watched it and we thought, this is kind of an homage to spaghetti westerns.
Has a real vibe.
And those 60s, 70s European lower budget war movies.
Like the Euro war stuff, like the Italian war movies, weird ones, you know.
And it definitely has that vibe. But he was talking about his influences in an interview I read with a Finnish paper. And he talks about Rambo,
okay,
extensively, and I can see that totally.
Yeah.
Jorma Tomila is the titular Zisu. I think his name in the film is Almaty.
Or Koshi the Immortal. It's not really a spoiler, but that's what characters call him in the movie, or it's what he's been dubbed.
Yeah, the Immortal, and he plays a strong silent type. Very much
really
like
is.
Rambo.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting things, it's not a spoiler, that he mentioned in that interview was when he was shopping the idea of the film around, even before production had begun, he took it to Netflix and they wanted a big action sequence to open the film.
Mm.
And he specifically said he refused to do that and work with Netflix because he wanted that Rambo-like introduction. You know, how Rambo's just seen, you know, walking through, the forests into the town, and he encounters the police, et cetera, et cetera. There is no big set piece in Vietnam that sets him up as a veteran. You can see he's a veteran from what he's wearing. That's kind of what Helander's done with the beginning of this film. He doesn't give us a big action set piece. This guy is immortal and he's a commando.
So now you've said that, this episode will also go out before Netflix's Blood and Gold's coming out, which seems like a very similarish style. So interestingly that's coming out the same day as Sisu in this country, at least. I wonder if that's maybe a link there. But I wonder if that'll open with a big set piece now that we know.
I wonder.
That.
I bet it does,
Maybe they lost Sisu and they thought, oh, the plot of that Sisu is quite
German film looks good. Yeah.
let's do something similar, but let's copy their homework, but not enough. You know?
Stupid movie studio's never done that before, Robert.
Never. No. I'm not saying Netflix at all would do that at all.
No, or any of them.
We didn't apply to watch that early at all, did we? Completely forgot I'd applied to watch that early. Cut that out. But anyway, no, it's interesting, isn't it? I do wonder if Blood and Gold will start like that now. But yeah, it's a very strong movie, and I can't remember the budget. What was the budget?
It's about 6 million euros, the budget.
Okay. Well, they use it well, I've got to admit.
They do, and that's big for a Finnish movie. So
very.
I think the average Finnish production is about maybe 3-4 million.
Okay.
And I think this is one of the bigger budgeted action movies that they've done.
The only other work that I know the director from, I think I was telling you in the foyer before we went in, was he worked on a Finnish comedy called Finnish Commando or something Commando, where it's like a Finnish guy who lives in America
Was it Sunshine Commando?
Something like that. He goes home to see
family,
and there's a clerical error or something, and he gets put in the Finnish army or something.
Yeah.
It sounds really funny. Or it sounds like they're, it's ripe for a sort of British or US remake. I can see that happening. It'd be quite funny.
Yeah.
He worked. It's a director playing to his strengths, because I know the Big Game film sort of feels like this as well. Very big set pieces that kind of a sort of journey road type movie as well. It very feels like there's a lot of movement. It never feels.
And
like
I think
it really
from the way he was talking in that interview that I mentioned, he very much actually originally wanted Big Game to be a little harder in tone than what it turned out to be. I haven't actually seen it, but from what I've read, it's not as as hardcore as he wanted it to be.
I remember.
Yeah, there's bits I think he wanted it to be a bit more like Die Hard or something like that.
I get it.
For me, the big takeaway was it was exactly what it wanted to be.
Yeah. If you've seen the trailer or if you've seen any promotional stuff,
it's not a war movie.
No, not really.
I would say it's not a war movie. It's a movie set during
a war. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And God knows we've had plenty of those. And it's in that ilk, it's in that subgenre of movies that are set during the Second World War, and they just tend to like unfold within that. And we only get like a couple of glimpses of the wider war. We see a Stuka appears. That might be a spoiler. Yeah. If you want to get excited about the Stuka appearing,
it is a good bit. I must admit,
it is.
Yeah, we've not gone any further.
And we see some Finnish troops at the end as well, and they're the few times that we see the wider
war. They don't do anything, the Finnish troops. That's not a spoiler, by the way. Like, they're just there for whatever reason. You get a nice little setup of the war on like a little nice animated map at the start, and then there's some narration. Trope. Yeah. They're very good. It's a good use of the trope, though. I've got to admit.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And then there's some narration that sets up the story, and you're pretty much with. He's not called Sisu, is he? You're pretty much with our silent protagonist through the whole movie. He only has, not spoiler, to say this, lines. Not even that, really. Most of it is grunts and screams. I've got to admit. Yeah.
And physically, he conveys a lot. In just physical acting terms, you aren't bereft of dialogue. When there is dialogue, I think Hellander uses it really well. There's a sequence, I think it was in one of the trailers, where there's a minefield and the lead Nazi played by Axel Henny turns to I think it's Jack Doolin's character. He's like a German sergeant, and he says, "Exactly how many mines did we bury here?" And Doolin turns to him and goes, "All of them."
Yes.
And then someone blows up, stands on a mine. Yeah. And that sequence, that entire sequence is insane. We'll talk about that after the spoiler. Oh, it's brilliant. Cut.
Yeah, we've got to talk about that in the spoiler section. It's probably, it was one of the, in the cinema, this is a great thing to see something like this with a room full of, with reviewers and influencers or whatever.
Just to see on a big screen is good and not it be, a streaming film where you watch it at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or on your telly. Yeah. No, it's great. Really does something. This is the sort of film I would say to people, please don't wait till it comes out on Prime or something. Yeah. Go and see it in the cinema, treat yourself. It's one of those, it is a real adventure type. Leave your brain at the door, get some popcorn, get a beer, get some nachos, just enjoy it. It really is one of those kind of movies.
I was livid I didn't get any popcorn before.
Matt was crying.
Someone walked past me with someone. I was like, "Oh fuck, Rob!" See,
They were kind enough to put on some free Camden Hells for us all before we went in. So we had a couple of cans of them, and we got a bit loose. We were excited, and then Matt sits down, and these people are coming in with big popcorns and stuff. And Matt just nudges me like every time. Like, "I should have got some popcorn." And she goes, "Like, you can go and get some. No one's stopping you. You've got money. You're in your 30s. Like, come on. I don't need to tell you." Like, I'm the younger one there. Like, he's like trying to get like the okay from me. And all the way through, he was just going like, just sort of wishing he had some fucking popcorn.
As you know, you've joined us for the review of Sisu.
Yeah, exactly. But I just thought,
Not my disappointment in
that. Final film squabbles. Yeah, we got our foibles. we got to highlight when we do. Give the fans some behind the scenes look there. But no, it was very, very enjoyable.
And I'm so glad it's getting a wide cinema release.
Yeah.
And I think another thing that stood out in some of the Finnish reviews and articles about the film that I read was I think this is an exceptionally large distribution for a Finnish movie.
Yes, it's
something that came up time and time again. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everything about it screams like universal release to multiple audiences, because there's nothing that really sort of holds this back from an audience. You don't have to know anything about the continuation war because it's kind of irrelevant to the story. You don't really have to know anything about the Second World War. All you have to know is the Nazis are the bad guys in this movie, and our silent protagonist is the good guy, I guess. You know, he's been wronged. Yeah. He's the character that's been wronged. He's the protagonist. The Nazi's the antagonist. He wants to get this gold to a bank. That's your plot. And it's so simple.
Basically, before we move into the spoiler segment of the show, I, instead of getting a retro review, obviously, because it isn't out yet, I thought we'd get some reviews from its country of origin, some Finnish reviews. And I got a couple, and I thought I'd share them with you. And this one's from Italetti, which is a Finnish tabloid. It came out in January. And it says, Zissou's action scenes are not only witty, but also funny. Master photographer Kel Lugrus has masterfully captured the beauty of Lapland's wilderness on the big screen. The special effects work perfectly and look flawless. The film's violence is extreme, but at the same time, so cartoonish and exaggerated that it is already on the side of black humor.
Yeah.
And I think that captured it really well. And then there was another review, which I also thought was really good, which came out at the end of January. And I'm just going to butcher the name of the publication. It was Kulttuuri Toimitus. Probably should say that a little bit faster, but that
sorry
is my
to all the Finnish best, listeners there.
That's right. That's my best attempt at that Finnish.
I'm going to send that to a gulag for all these awful pronunciations. 10 years, gulag.
Okay, Jesus Christ.
To quote my friend. If you're listening, you'll know who you are.
Good Lord. Dish is handsome, even by international standards, and does not give any impression of cheap kitchen decoration. This has been machine translated, by the way, but it still carries.
Yep.
The landscapes of Lapland serve as a wonderful background. The story of a lone survivor is indeed a Finn Western made in the spirit of an Italian Western. In the rhythm, I would have liked a little more acceleration and elevation in the last half hour. So I think, obviously, that's been machine translated.
No, I get it.
But it carries across, doesn't it? And that's an interesting critique about the last half hour, which I don't know. I thought the climax was good.
It doesn't dip. I just think there's so much going on that anything you do near the end is sort of going to be not an anti-climax, that's the wrong word, but because you've seen this balls-to-the-wall, brutal action slugfest.
It's hard to have like a final climax where it jumps above the level that it's been at throughout the whole film.
Exactly. To go any further, you'd have to have like Nazis in space or something. You know, it's like, it's sort of, where do you go?
Nazis in space.
Yeah. It's like,
they've done that actually.
They have done that. Yeah. I can't stand those movies, by the way. If you like them, sorry, but I hated those Nazi space. Weird film. You know what I mean, don't you?
I can't remember the name of it.
I can't remember. I expunged that from my memory when I watched it. It's dreadful. Yeah, you get to a certain point, it's like, where can you go? What can you do? And I think they stick the landing. It's fine.
I absolutely do. I thought the climax was, it had genuine humour to it, and it worked.
Yeah, it was funny. And the antagonists are, or one of them is thoroughly unlikable enough for you to want him to have a demise anyway. We're straying into spoiler sequence.
I think on that note, we can move into talking a little bit more specifically about certain scenes.
So here's your spoiler warning. The sirens are going off. It's all going mad here at 4th HQ. If you want to go and watch Sisu with no more than our general thoughts, then don't listen any further than this.
So I think a good place to start would be to talk about the spaghetti Western influences, because there was a number of scenes that really, I think, drew heavily on those, you know, Sergio Leone sort of classic spaghetti westerns. There's one scene that really stood out to me was the scene where the protagonist is hung, and the protagonist is captured by the Nazis, and they string him up outside of a destroyed petrol station. And the way that was shot, the mood and the approach to it really
yes.
said to screamed spaghetti western. And
yeah, they did.
You have the jeopardy of, oh my god, is he going to die? Is this like how he's going to meet his end? And the payoff and the way he escapes from that is gruesome, more gruesome than anything a spaghetti western did.
Oh yeah, well, there's only so much you can get away with. I get what you mean when you say that whole sequence is very western. Even when they hang him and you've got the three main Germans of the tank, who's the commander, the driver, and then Jack Doolan sniper guy, and they're walking away, that's very much like the outlaws have caught the goodie and they've strung him up to a tree and they're walking off triumphantly. It's very much that. You've seen it. If you've seen a western, you've seen it.
Yeah.
I loved it. Even down to so the film's in chapters. We didn't mention that at the start. And the chapters are gold, Nazis, minefield, scorched earth. They're all like that. They're all named. What's coming up. That's it. Even in a font, very westerny 60s font.
Very much so.
Burnt orange, color.
I've seen lots of people liken it to Tarantino movies. But again, Tarantino's very much influenced by those kind of films, pulp films,
pulp. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Tarantino, I personally think the Tarantino connection is lazy of reviewers and clickbait articles.
I think it's all they think of, when they immediately see it. But I mean, I think it's shared influence.
I do.
That's what, that's what it is.
It's sort of like that bit in Inglourious Basterds where they walk into the cinema from the balcony and they start gunning everyone down and you keep chunks taken out of Hitler's head, but it's not that's not really what's happening. That was a bit of a damp squib for me, the last bit of Inglourious Basterds, but whatever, we'll get to that when we do it.
We will.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But, no, I like the film, but that part of it pissed me off, because I'm like, don't show me something that's not fucking happening. I hate it in movies when they do that. Can't stand it. It's faking out your audience, I think, is cheap. Don't do it. Unless there's an actual reason for it, don't do that to your audience. I think it's mean. Anyway, that's my... I have an issue.
Well, Zissou doesn't do that, so thankfully.
No, Zissou doesn't do that at all.
We can't level that critique at it.
It never fakes you out. It never tries to show you... You never even feel that... Corpy, the main guy, your main fella, isn't gonna win, and that's what I like about it. Really, I think that's one of my inherent loves, was that I never felt like this dude was gonna not win the day, and I kind of love that. You don't really get that in movies anymore. There's always a big oh no, is he gonna be okay? The minute they hung him, I'm thinking, hey, get out of this somehow.
He's not gonna die, because you've just seen him on fire.
Exactly, he's just set himself alight to escape.
The man has Captain America'd it with a gold pan.
He
has held his breath underwater for 20 minutes. He's been on fire. Hanging him's not going to get him.
He survived the blast of a stick grenade.
Yeah, he survived his horse stepping on a landmine.
Yeah, that's fucking insane, by the way.
That was brutal. I mean, let's talk about that sequence.
Yeah, let's talk
that
about
the whole minefield sequence is insane.
It's so good.
The way it ramped was incredible, because he manages to bypass the Germans. He kills several of them and gets past them because the tank's gone ahead. Mm. And he reaches a minefield that the Germans have laid behind them, and his horse steps on a mine, and his horse is obliterated, and there's some very good practical effects.
Very good.
Some good CGI, but there's some very good practical effects of when the dust settles, and you know the horse has obviously been eviscerated. It's very graphic.
Very. But it was, no one was expecting it either.
No, and the sound design of that concussion.
Go to the cinema was incredible. Just for the sound design of that, like it felt like the ground was shaking. Everyone near us was, well, one, they were shocked, but then they were laughing like frightened laughs and things. It was such an interesting audience reaction. But then the minefield scene then ramps even more because you're like, well, we've just seen a horse explode. Like, where can we go?
How's it going to get worse than that?
Yeah. So the tank turns up with a commander in it, and they have to obviously go and get the gold from our man. Yeah. So he sends his troops through the minefield, but it's done in a really sort of, he just points, he goes, you, and then you see these German troops like psych himself up to run through a minefield. And a guy steps on a mine and explodes. But then Sisu, he's not called Sisu. Well, it's like Zelda. You know, when you're like, oh, then Zelda does this. It's not Zelda, it's fucking Link. But no, it's not. In the art terms, it's not Sisu, it's Corpy or Atami Corpy, whatever his bloody name is. They don't say it enough in the movie, by the way.
They don't say it at all. They say it like twice, don't they?
Thank God for Wikipedia and IMDb, for we know the actual guy's name. But our man... I keep saying that, aren't I, really? Oh, man, in Finland.
It works.
He throws a mine, uses it as like a grenade. It's great. Never seen that in a movie.
No. And numerous other Nazis get blown up, and he somehow manages to get away.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really dip from there on, does it?
No. In terms it just keeps going and going and going.
Yeah.
And you're never really in a lull as an audience member, I don't think, with this one. Like, if you're watching it at home, you could pause it and go make a cup of tea, but I don't think you'd want to.
No, and it's very fast paced. So
very, yeah. If you like John Wick, if you like Nobody, if you like films like that, if you're an action fan as well, you'll like this one.
Yeah, I when the lights came up, I was surprised at how quickly that hour and a half had passed.
It, 90 minutes, perfect.
No dips,
perfect timing.
No lag. No. And I would say this is a far better film than John Wick, the last one, 4.
John Wick 4, I haven't seen John Wick 4 yet.
I saw it in cinemas, and I enjoyed this far more. There's some great parts of John Wick 4, and we aren't a action movie podcast.
Not yet. Although, we've exhausted war movies. We might have to stray into it a bit.
I don't think we're ever going to exhaust war movies.
Death Wish December will be upon us.
Yeah. But I think, really, in terms of filmmaking, this is a better film than John Wick 4. I feel like it is. It knows
we're
what it wants to be.
We're definitely seeing the
better
John Wick effect on
absolutely
this one.
Yeah.
Very much so. But then I think, as Matt said earlier, it's more of a homage to those Hollywood westerns of the strong silent type, Clint Eastwood era of westerns, where the main guy is the good guy, there's some bad guys, and the bad guys are going to get their asses whooped, and that's what happens.
Yeah,
I think one of the reviews I read with the guy was like, sometimes you just want to watch a movie with Nazis getting their heads caved in for 90 minutes. Like, what more do you want?
Well, this is it. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah,
it really is. And there's no B plot, there's no love plot. There's no anything. There's a group of women in it that have been horribly sexually assaulted by the Nazis at the start. By the end, they're taking names, and they're just as
there's some feel good retribution.
Very. Yeah. And they feel like they could have their own movie now. The way they're treated. They have their very cool Western sort of Magnificent Seven-esque walking through,
come out of the smoke.
Yeah, with their MP40s and Mosins and Luca's in their boots. Very cool. And they get their retribution back on the man that had his way with one of them earlier. Really nice. Really nice imagery. Some lovely editing. The tank's wrong, but who cares?
T-55, I believe, we think.
Dressed up, and it looks, from a distance, in some sequences, it's just SPG, really. It could be.
Yeah. I mean, it's also a trope, isn't it?
It's a trope. It could be a trope.
But
it
that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Because as I said at the beginning, this isn't a war film. It's not a serious war film. It doesn't intend to be. It's far-fetched. You know, there's no way someone could light themselves on fire and survive and then jump into, you know, some water.
I would have loved to have seen them. And maybe if there's a Sisu 2, there's been rumblings of the director saying, well, if Sisu 1 does well, make another. I would have loved to have seen them accidentally stumble into the front lines and have these guys in, like, fixed positions or something, see our man do what he's doing on his own. Like, that would have been very funny to see. I'm sure it would have been interesting to film or see on film. But there's scope for more. From what they talk about his background and him being this uncontrollable Finnish commando going out on his own, that they couldn't control him, they couldn't tell him no, so he went off and did these crazy missions on his own. I'd love to see that. You know, I'd love to see a sort of Dirty Dozen-esque film with loads of different types of allied commandos being nuts. You know, I think there's more than enough room for that now. We love those movies in the 60s and 70s. Yeah. We don't make them now, and this really feels like... If Dirty Dozen comes out in 67, Zizou could come out in like 1969 or like 1966 or something. Totally. And it would fit. Yeah.
The action genre, the way it's been revived by, you know, the John Wick effect, owes a lot to that kind of period as well.
It does.
You know, grittiness, slightly over the top, dynamic movement. I mean, obviously now it's hyper.
Hyper dynamic, it's crazy. But, yeah, it's a sensory overload of some of that at times. I've got
I would agree. Yeah,
especially some of the explosions and some of the sound that goes with it. Gosh, you know, like it really was like Jesus, you know, it's a bit much.
Yeah, and there's a great dog in the film too.
Oh, the dog, cute.
Changing tack slightly, but there is. The dog's great.
The dog survives, by the way. Yep.
Yeah.
Like me and Matt were scurryingly writing notes while we were watching. We both put dog survives at the top of our notes.
We both wrote dog is good.
Dog is good. I put dog count at mine, and I put 0, which was nice.
Nice.
Well, the dog hides. The dog just runs off. Like,
the dog is sensible. The dog is very sensible. Dogs
not like John Wick's dog. That gets kidnapped every 5 minutes. You know, John, stick a lead on that motherfucking thing. Christ. Yeah. But it's also nice for me and Matt, and this is a very odd thing for us to mention, but I think we'd be amiss not to talk about it. It's that Jack Doolan's character, he uses a scoped K98, and he's a left-handed shooter.
He is. He's using it as a left-hander. Yeah. And that speaks to us, obviously, because we both shoot left-handed.
It's we're real niche within a niche. You know, firearms users that are lefties. And then me and Matt both nudged each other when he was reloading in the weird sort of cack-handed way you have to do it when you use a bolt on your left. You know, you either hold it into your shoulder with one arm and then load it, or you sort of hold it with one arm and then do the other. It's very awkward to look at. So when we were seeing it from a distance, we were like, is he doing that left-handed? Because I'm probably one of the few people who know what that looks like. And then Matt was like, Rob! I think Matt even got kicked in the back of his chair for talking to me.
I did.
And I turned around and I gave them a glare. So I was like,
did they have popcorn, Rob?
I can't remember now. Should have taken it from them. You know. This is the armor's bench here. Excuse me. Do you know this is an influencer right here? This is YouTube's second best firearms channel.
Wow. Oof.
You know Forgotten Weapons? Well, this is the British version, all right? How dare you?
Oh, my word. The last thing that I've got on my notes here is Chekhov's bomb.
Chekhov's bomb, yeah.
Refers to the climax of the film where our protagonist and antagonist find themselves on board a Soviet Dakota.
A Soviet Dakota. Yeah, well, yeah. I never. They had them, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
They had them?
I think they did, as far as I remember.
Well, he makes a deal, doesn't he, to get out of the country.
He does.
And they were called Lizinov Li-2s.
Okay.
Apparently. Probably butchering that. But yeah. And apparently the Soviet Union received its first DC-2 in 1935. And then they started to make their own. What's this? What's this thing we've been given? Quick, reverse engineer it. Don't order any more.
They'd never do that.
Max, can I have my blueprints back? What blueprints? We don't have any.
Oh, mate, they did it with Gatling guns as well.
They
renamed them Gorloffs.
Yeah.
After the superintendent of the factory that looked after, like, the manufacturing.
I'd like it a lot if you could pay that money to me, Mr. Gatling. I'd love to have some money. No, we have a reverse engineer. You'll leave country now, please. I went down. I'm pretty sure.
Probably. Oh, long history.
They come for the reviews. They stay for my mad insight.
They stay for
history.
The accents, yeah. I hope Sony Pictures listens to this and goes, God, it was definitely worth inviting them down, wasn't it?
Give these boys more screeners. If you need anyone from MGM could give us one for the Collateral, the Guy Ritchie one, that'd be fab. So I can't find out who's
any studio listening over here. We're more than happy to take screeners to, you know, watch these films.
If you want,
provide honest, this golden content that we're providing right now.
Honest war movie reviews and weird insights into weird transatlantic weapons deals.
Tangents.
Where else are you going to hear about Chekhov's Gatling getting his blueprints nicked?
Right, anyway, right. Chekhov's bomb. But getting back to Chekhov's bomb and the beautiful Dr. Strangelove reference.
It was sweet as, wasn't it? It was so sweet.
I know Drew, but I was like, oh, Dr. Strangelove reference.
Man, people, that person behind you must have been getting fucking mad. It was so sweet.
You say that, but there was a lot of people chatting, laughing.
Oh, there was. Yeah, I mean, it was everyone there knew someone, so they were just chatting together. But it's a great... So at the end of the movie, the German guy's trying to escape with, not Zizou, Zelda, with Lynx fucking gold, right? You know what I mean? With the immortal Finnish commando man.
The protagonist, yeah.
With the protagonist, gold. He's trying to escape with the gold, and... Mm. Sizu man gets on, attaches himself to the plane with a shovel or an axe or something, and he like hauls himself onto the plane. This is the fucking maddest
bit
of the movie.
His pickaxe to
brutal strength to batter his way through the aluminium core.
I'd have been knackered after 10 minutes.
I'd have been fucked after all the killing I'd done. Jesus,
yeah,
is it worth it? Really, you know. He left him one nugget of gold when he hung it.
He did, didn't he? That probably would have saved him set for life.
Maybe he didn't
anyway.
Know. Ironically, he never looked in that pocket, so he might not have known. Anyway, so they get on the plane and they have this massive punch up. It goes on forever. If you watch a never ending punch
in a good way.
Up, fast show sketches like that, but you know, more brutal. And he's like, why won't you die? All that sort of tropey shit. And you know, Sizu Man doesn't die in a good way. Yeah. And then Sizu finally uses this hook thing he's been beaten up with to attach the German man onto the bomb. And he lets the bomb go. And then you get this sort of, fuck you. And he's like flying through the air. But it is a bit of a reference to Dr. Strangelove. It's very good.
Has the vibe.
And then the biggest fucking explosion you've ever seen goes off.
Yeah. And then the plane crashes.
But yes, Chekhov's bomb. The minute me and Matt saw it, we were like...
As soon as they show the plane in the interior... It scans over that bomb and you're like, oh, yeah, that's going to be, that's a device. That's a plot device right there.
Yep, that bomb's going down.
But I think all in all, it was a really enjoyable film. Not a strict war film, definitely some far-fetched parts, but really well acted.
There's far-fetched and there's believable within what you've already seen. And by that point, I was ready for anything.
Well, the film takes you along and you understand what it's trying to do. And I think that is a rare gift for some films in that you quickly perceive that this is not trying to be all serious.
All the time. Men. Yeah. Yeah. No. It has an audience.
It's got some serious themes.
Yeah. I read online there were some people that said they couldn't make through it. Like through 45 minutes of it because it was like not That's believable wild. Enough or anything like that. And I was like, what the fuck do you want from your war films? Come on. You know, this didn't happen. It's not a documentary.
The dude gets shot at and he holds up his gold pan.
No, it deflects
bullets. Captain America's his way through it.
I fucking love it.
From
it's
that
great.
Moment on, you should know that this is not just, serious.
Just leave your brain at the door. This is a certain film for certain people. And I wish they made more things like this, because I think the war genre as a whole has been crying out for something like this for ages, because I think there's so much you can do with the genre that people don't do. And this is something
that... Well, we talk about that quite regularly.
We like, do, yeah.
As a genre, the war movie is so malleable. Mm. You can do so much with it in terms of exploration of character, of even just something very simple and cathartic like this, because yeah. it has an element of that too, I think.
It does, really, yeah. There's definite baddies. They get bad stuff done to them. At the end, Sisu Man goes into the bank and says, can you change these gold bars into money, like physical money, because it'd be easy for me to carry. And that's the end of the film. That's all there is. Yeah. And in a sequel...
That's the most lines he has.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, what are they going to do with a sequel? Is it going to be a prequel, or is it going to be him getting the money home?
Who knows?
Maybe there's like a gang of criminals that chases him or something. I don't know. It could be, couldn't it? Could just be like an endless series of films, him trying to get this money back to a safe or something. Could be. But no, I hope they do more. I hope this movie inspires more people to do something with the genre that isn't just his band of troops, his set piece battle, his end of movie isn't war awful. Like war movies can touch on different genres. They can be irreverent. And this is my sort of argument to people who go, oh, well, this movie's silly. It doesn't have a place. Why is it there's something like this? Go and watch A Dirty Dozen. Go and watch something like these spaghetti Euro war films in the 60s. Yeah. They were doing it back then and people loved them.
Well,
you know,
having just listened to Wayne Epstein's
brilliant
book on Killing Generals, on the making of The Dirty Dozen.
Great, by the way.
It is. Hopefully we'll have him on the show and we can talk about the process of writing that. But it struck me as soon as we started watching it, you know, the parallels were there.
Yeah, without a doubt. And they really, really are. And I think, you know, if you listen to this show, I think you'll be worth your time. And thanks again for Sony Pictures for inviting us down. It's very kind of you. And Sisu will be in cinemas on the 26th of May in the UK. So if you're at a loose end one of these nights or weekends, why don't you go and treat yourself and watch Sisu? And we have not been paid at all for anything on our thoughts of this movie. We would let you know if we had done, and we haven't.
If we'd been paid, we would have been a lot more...
We're less irreverent. I wouldn't have mentioned Gatling or the Russians.
Yeah, that was the word I was looking for. a little bit more cohesive.
Fucking serious. This is final film. They don't come for seriousness. They come for fucking... Last week it was 70s versions of the Dambusters without Murray and James Holland. This week it's Robbie fucking doing blueprints of Gatling guns and Russians. Right, so I think without further ado, that brings an end to our Sisu review. Hope you enjoyed it. Go and see it if you can. As always, you can find the entirety of the back catalogue of Fighting on Film on our website, fightingonfilm.com. Give us a review or a thumbs up on whatever you're listening on. It'd be much appreciated. We'd love to read them. And we'll catch you next week for, I think, it's going to be a triple show and tell episode where we'll just run through three war movies and two war movies and one cartoon that we saw lately that we enjoyed.
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.